Nilqawkom għal kreattività bla konfini li huwa program fuq Campus FM organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Jiena Audrey Rose Mizzi u ser kun qed nippreżenta dan il-programm flimkien ma' artisti, mużiċisti u studenti li qed jagħmlu riċerka fid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti. Illum ser niddiskutu l-APS imdina qed jiġi l-Contemporary Art Biennale li hija eżibizzjoni internazzjonali tal-arti kontemporanja taħt direzzjoni artistika ta' Dr. Giuseppe Schembri Bonaci li huwa Senior Lecturer fid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti.
My name is Emma Borge and I'm reading for a BA in History of Art at the University of Malta, and I'm going to be your host for today. My guest host is Sina Farrugia McAuliffe. Sina is Maltese. She's an artist that specialized in ceramics. She's exhibited in Germany, France, England, America, as well as other countries, of course. And Sina was featured in the previous Mdina Biennale and will also be in this year's Mdina Biennale. How are you?
I'm fine, Emma. Very happy to be here.
Very happy to be here as well. So, how does it feel to be returning to this year's Biennale?
I'm looking forward to it because last year's Biennale was really exciting. I made a lot of new friends and the motivation for the exhibition was fantastic. And this year I'm looking forward to, you know, being motivated again. And in fact, I've started working already on a couple of works which are going to be shown eventually in the 2017-18 Biennale.
Brilliant. Do you want to talk a bit about what the works are going to be, what medium at least?
Yes, the works are going to be in my favorite medium, which is clay, ceramics. They're probably going to be in monochrome.
Okay.
I wouldn't like to talk too much about it for two reasons. For two reasons. First of all, because the idea of the work will evolve throughout the next 6 months, I'm sure. So it's now at the beginning. Actually, it started quite some time ago, but it's, you know, in the process of being created. And I myself won't know exactly what the end result will be. So, no, I won't talk about it right now.
That's great. Keep everyone in suspense then. So then we just see what happens.
And also, the second reason is I don't want to disappoint people, because if they think I'm going to do this and then I do something completely different.
Highly doubt that you'll disappoint. I've looked up a number of your works and I really doubt that you're going to disappoint them in any way. So they really are impressive. So credit to you.
Thank you.
Any particular reason why you choose to use ceramics in particular as your medium?
When I first started doing arts, I was very little and I used to draw a lot and I used to paint a lot. When I started teaching, and I was about 20 or 21, my friend was also a teacher. She was a science teacher and I was the art teacher. She was doing ceramics with Gianni Bonici. We used to teach in Mosta. And after school, I started joining her for ceramics lessons. She eventually left, went to live in Australia. And I never stopped since then. And I've trained with Gianni Bonici. I've trained with Gabrielle Caruana, Neville Ferry. I've studied mostly in England, in England, at Brunel University. And I did a lot of courses with artist potters, whose work interested me. I did workshops with Jane Perryman, with Seth Cardew, the Edens in the Lake District. At the same time, I was having a good time because the country is different, and it became a way of life with me. Yeah. You know, I just didn't stop since Lucy Gauci. That's her name, my friend who introduced me to ceramics.
Thank you, Lucy Gauci. Thank you very much. I think it's really interesting. I mean, there's something about ceramics because it's such like a tactile sort of medium. It's so engaging and it's so original because you never find someone with the same result.
Actually, I'm also an art teacher. I used to be an art teacher for many years. And what I find interesting about art in general, not just the ceramics, is art. I feel art is such a special subject because every student will give you a different answer to, say, if I give them a theme to think about and to create work around it, everybody will give me a different answer. You know, but everybody's work is valid, and that's the beauty of art. People create their own experiences. They put their own experiences in their work. So it's like us. We're all different.
I think that's brilliant, honestly, in saying that, because it's 100% true. Because to every person, art is something different. You can never find one set definition. It's impossible. It's even difficult for one person to define what it is, because it's so subjective to the person. I think it's really impressive. you had said that you had studied in England at Brunel, a very good university in London.
Yes.
How would you say that the culture reflecting art is different there as it is here?
Well, this was a long time ago, and what I did was ceramics. But Brunel is famous for science, really, not for... But in ceramics, you have the two subjects very well woven into each other, because in ceramics, you have to use the clay, you have to use the glazes, you have to know how to mix them, you have to know how to fire the clay after it is it has dried, you have to fit the body of the glaze to the body of the clay. So that's all scientific. And then there's the creative aspect, which is the artistic aspect. So that way, you know, it was really...
Intertwined.
Intertwined.
Yeah. Intertwined. That's cool, though. I mean, when we're talking, because one of the things I wanted to bring up, in fact, was Malta's currently, obviously, it's been like this for a while, where it's trying to be recognized as an artistic hub as of late, even including, like, obviously, Valletta 2018. There's certain things like the Medina Biennale, which are going to be featured in and have been featured in, which are trying to promote Malta in a more artistic manner, try elevate it a bit from what it was. And do you think this is possible, really and truly, at the end of the day?
I think it is. I think the process has already started. You know, for instance, this Biennale of Sacred Art, the themes that are being chosen are so challenging. And last year, so many people came from all over the world. There were Canadians, there were English, French. I'm trying to remember the people I met, you know, at the Biennale of last year. It was fantastic. It was international. And everybody came with their own ideas. And I remember the donkeys all over. And I remember meeting this... lovely French artist who used to do underwater photography around the island, and she exhibited them. And she's now living in Malta because she loved it so much that she actually moved here. And I think this is fantastic. I mean, people are already being called, artists are already being called to the island. Yes, I think the process has started.
There's something encapsulating about it.
Thanks to, you know, some people who have vision. Because if we didn't have people with vision like Giuseppe Schembri and like Rafael Vella and many other people who come up with these and they have the energy and the love for art. And if we don't have these people to come up with these wonderful ideas, then...
No, you're right.
It's their energy who calls, that calls all these artists to Malta.
It's true. We're very lucky, Ansi. Like, we really do have so many talented artists on this, like, little island. And it's just... We do.
Actually, Malta is very dense in many ways, you know. I remember once...
Take that as you wish.
Yes, but it is dense because I remember once hearing someone talk about the fruit, Maltese fruit. It was in an agricultural program. And he said that the fruit in Malta, maybe it's not so large as, you know, I mean, the Maltese peaches. I also have large peaches in my garden. But they're small, but the taste is... Excellent, because it's all dense. All the chemicals that give taste to the fruit is... And it's like that in art. It's like that in everything, you know? In history, in our Neolithic heritage.
That's true.
You know, so the island, even though it's small, it's...
There's a powerful amount of stuff going on. We might not be big, but we have a lot going on, and it's very valid. And I think that's incredible.
And even the beauty of the island, the coast, the beaches, the landscape. I remember I was in Australia in 2001, and to go and see the Blue Mountains, for instance, you have to drive from Sydney for about 3 hours, and then you go back another 3 hours. Whereas here, everything's very... I said, Australia's a continent, Malta's a little island. I said, okay, we don't have the vastness of the land and the distances. I said, but we have the history, the richness of the history, which
That's
is,
true.
You know, so time-wise, we're very rich. As well. Space-wise, we're small.
Yeah, we're not like...
That's why we're dense.
Yeah, it's true. We're not winning on, like, the biggest country in any regard. But hey, we're producing a lot out of what we've got. We're making something out of it, which is wonderful. It really is.
Yes.
And it's something that's constantly happening.
And Maltese people are so hardworking. Mm-hmm. I mean, the artists are so hardworking. And I remember as a teacher, the students are very, very hardworking. When they go abroad, they find it easy.
What do you say that is, though? Because, at least from my perspective as a student still, I look at Malta, I'm like, I have opportunities, but abroad there seems like there's so much more, constantly. So we're all the time working when we're here to try and get to the best place, because we know the opportunities are there. So I think there's like a slight drive, because we are so small to a certain extent,
yes,
to really push ourselves to the extreme.
That's true.
And that's something that, like you said, with students, you can even see that in secondary school to a certain extent.
Yes.
Because you're aware the competition is still there. Mm-hmm. You really want to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that was there for sure. You had mentioned the theme before of last year's. What do you think about this year's theme? A sea of conflicting spiritualities.
I think it's very challenging. And this is one of the things I like about the Biennale. The themes are always, they make you think, they make you look up things and research. I think it is very challenging. In fact, I'm very interested in spirituality. And last year, my exhibit had to do with the inner journey
mm-hmm.
Of people. This year, the theme is also about spirituality, in fact, spiritualities. I think spirituality, in olden times, it used to be connected very much with a religion, an established mm-hmm. religion. But nowadays, it's more to do with the individual. Spiritual people need not be religious people,
mm-hmm.
you know? You can be a very spiritual person and you can be an atheist at the same time.
No, I agree with that entirely.
Because spirituality has to do with people being good, with trying to improve their personality, being taking care of the virtues and developing the virtues that make us more human. And I think that even looking at what's happening in the Mediterranean, let's look at the people coming from North Africa as refugees. They're trying to improve their situation. They're trying to, and that will also reflect on our own life and how are we going to handle this situation of people coming from another country, and how is it going to affect how we think about the situation, how we react to the situation. And there's a lot of morality goes into it, and a lot of spirituality
mm-hmm.
comes into it. And this is all a bit subtle, but it's there. So, of course, on a political aspect, there will always be things that are very obvious and conflicts and stuff like that. But on a subtle aspect, I think the human being is always looking for something within that will elevate his lot.
That's very true. I mean, religion to a certain extent, obviously, it's different to every individual, right?
Yes.
But spirituality brings that on a completely different level. Because, as you said, it's absolutely an individual's relationship with whatever being or form that they want to believe in. Or even if not, like, just something that, like you said, it's, in my opinion, at least, I find spirituality really has to do with morality. Completely. Like you had mentioned about the immigration crisis. Completely true in saying that. Because it does make you want to reflect. And it makes you want to think, okay, let me try and be a bit more empathetic. And that, to a certain extent, does go with being spiritual. You separate yourself from it and look at things in a more broad sense.
That's right.
I'd find that's at least how I see it. I mean, with a topic like a sea of conflicting spiritualities, that's so vast. The Mediterranean is an incredibly rich area historically. And every country surrounding it has such a specific type of history to deal with and a relationship with the sea. But at the same time, it is the one thing that really does bring all of these countries together.
That's
this common land.
The Mediterranean itself is like an island sea because it's surrounded by land. It's the other way around. An island will be surrounded by the sea and our Mediterranean is surrounded by land. And it's, I see it that way. But it brings, as you said, a lot of people together.
It does. I mean, like in some situations, geographically, you might say that, for example, someone in France and someone in, say, Israel, what are the combinations that they have? Really and truly, there are a lot. But there would be that difference. For example, you as an artist, right, you can find, at least on the basic level, a sort of spiritual relationship, for lack of a better word, between someone from a country completely different to your own, but someone who's familiar with this, like, sea. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, yes. In fact, we used to have a biennale, you know, a year we used to show work in Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
And then another year we used to show the same, not the same work, different work in Malta. We had this going on for about 10 years. A group of Maltese ceramicists and a group of, and I used to see this, you know, that we had this, you know, something that made us like brothers and sisters.
What do you think that is, though?
I don't know. It's also the way, because more, you know, people around the Mediterranean are sort of laid back and we love life and we love staying outdoors and this is our culture, you know. And you see Malta in summer. Practically, we live outside. We stay indoors in the afternoon because it's too hot. Otherwise, we're always outside. The weather is also very kind to us.
When I think about a topic like this, obviously it's dealing with the Mediterranean. I tend to think of like the commonalities between all the countries surrounding it. Besides the sea, weirdly enough, the word first thing that comes to me is like oil or something like that. Like it always goes to food in the weirdest way.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just the first thing that comes to mind. Automatically, I'm like, that to me is Mediterranean. It's like a Mediterranean diet in a weird way.
But I also think of stories.
Yeah?
Because different countries have different stories and they are, you know, related to the sea. The Greek, the Odyssey and the, I don't know, in Malta we have, I remember Patrick Manuel Magri, a book of legends that we have at home. And the story about a ship that traveled on land and it went from Malta to North Africa. And there were lakes. So this is a legend that came, you know, from far, you know, from ages ago. I have to look it up again because it was so interesting. I remember being so fascinated. And il vapur tal-art li kien jaqgħod il-Malta mal-Afrika. U kien imma kien jgħaddi mill-art, mhux kien jgħaddi minn fuq il-baħar. And of course, it is known that the Mediterranean Sea wasn't always a sea. Malta was joined to the north of Europe. That's why we have so many animal remains in Ardalan, you know. So that, you see, there's all this.
I remember that book my mom had when I was little. My mom really wanted me to get into Maltese folklore and stuff like that. She had mentioned these stories. They're so adorable looking back now. Because they're so fantastical. Like, they just, it's so out there. They're wonderful. They're so nice. So, what's, like, completely, like, back to Mdina Biennale?
Right, yes.
Let's get back to that one, you know. How was your experience in 2015 outside of like meeting people? Do you have any expectations for this year's as well?
Last year, my exhibit was not initially at the Cathedral Museum, although I did plan a work for the vaults of the cathedral. But then because of logistics, there wasn't enough space in the vaults and my work was shown in another venue. And unfortunately, I had to move it from that venue later on in the year, but I found a lot of support from Dr. Giuseppe Schimberberg and also from Mariella, of, you know, she's with the Cathedral Museum staff. And then I moved my work to the Cathedral Museum, down into the vault. It was a bit cramped, but it looked so wonderful there because my work was about inner journey meditation. And I remember I couldn't put a platform. It had to go on the floor. It was a little installation. And I put it on the floor. And since I didn't glaze my work, I worked in buff ceramics. I had a central piece which represented a lotus. Around it was a mantra in Sanskrit, inviting people to meditate, to go on, you know, on the inner journey.
Mm-hmm.
And around it were 20 little boats, all different. And it was, when you look at it, it was a mandala, because then I put everything in this square. The mandala is a circle within a square, and it has a lot of spiritual connotations. And so I put this on the floor, and I didn't know, I hadn't thought about the square, because in the other place, the square was the platform of the work.
Yeah.
But in this place, what I used was I crushed clay, fired, and I put just, you know, the crushed clay in the form of a square, and it was so, it was the right place for it, you know. And as soon as I finished setting it up, I remember, of course, the museum was open and people were coming in and round up. This Indian family came in. It was a man, a woman, and they had a little boy. And when they saw, they were fascinated because they could read the Sanskrit. Yeah. And, you know, they were so surprised that someone here, an artist here, would create something which they could actually relate to. I was actually very, very happy about the work being in the cathedral museum.
Yeah.
I was very happy. And when the Biennale was going on last year, I remember that you have like a point of reference. So during your day, when you're going on with your work and coming to university or being at home or being in the studio, you say, oh, I'll pop up to Umdina and have a look, go and have a look again, you know. And you go to Umdina and see something that you hadn't noticed before, you know. It was really nice. It was like a point of reference, really.
It must have been an incredible experience just to see someone really immersed into your work and appreciate both, even like a child.
Even the children. And the children were fascinated by the boats. The boats represented people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are like vessels, and the boat is a vessel. And they were looking towards the center of the work, which would be the still point within us, the point where eternity starts, I say, you know? And but the children were interested in, you know, how the boats were made and the shapes.
It's like a deeper meaning, but at the same time, boats. That's exciting for kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. It sounds wonderful. Also, it sounds like the piece could easily be transformed. Obviously, not saying it would, but it could have easily been transformed into this Biennale as well. It seems like it could have dealt with this topic very well.
What? Yes. In fact, I had a lot of different artists gave me different perspectives about the work. I remember Mario Sambut, he told me, they are like refugees coming to Malta, you know. Someone told me, I think Damon Abeyer, he said, they are like people around the table partaking of a meal together, you know. And I had all these lovely ideas. And my idea was to ask people to come and choose a boat that they thought represented them, and I could move the boats around. I wanted to be interactive, but there wasn't time. You know, there wasn't time. In fact, one of the boats, I wanted to remove one of the boats because I thought it wasn't symmetrical.
Okay.
And I said to my sister, maybe I should move this boat, you know, and replace it. And my sister said, no, don't, because people are not all the same. And, you know, if people, you know, don't look good, or, you know, they are still people. So people, I left it there. She was right, of course.
No, it's right. I mean, like, people are naturally flawed. No one is absolutely perfect.
Exactly.
So then, even like for some things like that, it does make a difference to the individual, because you look at it and you think, oh, okay, maybe I can assimilate with that. Probably more than the perfect one, in fact, which I'm sure they were.
I loved making them. I loved participating. It gives me an impetus, you know, like I want to be a part of all this.
It's true.
It's fun.
It is. I mean, like, obviously it's a very serious topic, and the whole thing really is trying to elevate arts to a certain extent. But obviously you want the viewers to get involved. You want them to enjoy it as well for what it is. I mean, I really like sticking on this whole idea that like a child went up to it and just enjoyed it for what it was.
Yes.
Like, that's wonderful.
People were also fascinated by the Sanskrit, you know. They wanted to know the meaning. They wanted to know how I made the letters. Actually, making the Sanskrit letters took a lot of time. It took a lot of time, because that was more technical than I wasn't being creative there. The whole thing was my creative effort, you know. The boats were all different. I made the boats. The boats are all different because I made them on different days, and they reflect my mood on that day. So if I was happy, you would get a happy boat. And if I was in a bad mood,
you're going
to see it. It's amazing how it happens. But you don't have any control over this. It just happens.
It's organic.
You know? And it also, the condition of the clay when you work with it, it's going to affect the end result. So if the clay is very soft, you will work in a certain way. And if the clay is harder, you work in another way. But you don't really think about this, because you do it a lot of, you know, you do it often. You
try to.
It's second nature.
Why did you choose Sanskrit in particular?
I actually learned Sanskrit at the philosophy school in Valletta. Sometimes I used to join the professor Michael Zamit's class, Sanskrit class, here at the university. And I used to, you know, go for a couple of lectures. And it's a very philosophical language, very interesting. And you have to keep it keeps you on your toes. I wanted something challenging, you know, to keep me mentally active.
Keep it going.
Right, you know. And that's why I chose Sanskrit.
Fair enough. I mean, it doesn't sound like, I don't know much on it, I'll be honest. But from what I've seen, it doesn't sound like it's easy at all. to get a hand of?
It's not easy to a certain extent. It's a very precise language. Actually, NASA, they're doing Sanskrit software because it's so precise that if they have instructions, they can't be understood in more than one way. So that's one thing. Secondly, people like T.S. Eliot, he learned Sanskrit as well, you know. So it's interesting. There's so much knowledge written in Sanskrit, of course. I have just started, so it's my first steps.
But you have a lot to go. It's true. No, I mean, I'd never have thought of that in particular. Especially like somewhere like this, like the first thing that automatically comes to someone's mind in terms of learning other languages are things that they can apply easily. And Maltese is very easy to adapt with certain languages because of what it is. So for example, Italian, you can manage French to a certain extent, you can manage Spanish to a certain extent, Arabic if you really want to give it a go.
And I was amazed that there were so many students here at the university who took up the subjects. It's a very philosophical, I mean, the beauty of it is not just in the writing, because the writing is so beautiful. It's like painting, you know. It's like painting. But it's the philosophy behind it all.
When you say the philosophy, what do you mean exactly?
For instance, the construction of the sentence will represent the universe, the creation, and the subject will be the creator, and then the object will be something else. And it's very metaphysical. I can't say that I'm learning exactly. Yes. I'm still beginning, but our teacher is so wonderful, and I think he does a very, very good job of transmitting. He loves it, and you know, it shows, and you get bit more than I do to da carmen, you know, as into to higher or to achieve tamil alhaja, because it's so well explained and so well felt in the delivery.
I think that's really interesting. I knew nothing on it whatsoever, and I'm kind of thinking of it right now. I'm like, I should probably look this up. This sounds very, very cool. I think that's it. Good. Anyways, I'd like to thank Sina Froja McAuliffe for being a wonderful guest, and thank you very much.
And it was lovely to be here, Emma. It was nice to meet you.
It was a wonderful
and
pleasure to meet
you. I love chatting with you. Oh. One of these days you should come and see my studio.
My pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Wasanna flaħħart għall-programm Kreattività bla Konfini li huwa programm fuq Campus FM, organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Nixtiequ ninformaw l-udjenza tagħna li l-APS imdina qed jiġi l-Contemporary Art Biennale ser jiġi mtella fil-Mużew tal-Katedral l-Imdina bejn 13 ta' Novembru 2017 sa 7 ta' Jannar 2018. APS Bank huwa l-partner uffiċjali tal-Imdina Biennale. Għal aktar informazzjoni nħeddukom tidħlu fuq is-sit elettroniku www.imdinabiennale.com. Grazzi tal-li naqgħdu magħna, niltaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla.